Hola. Ay, Dios mío, it's Thursday. Time for Jackie's Vida Loca, where every week we divulge our Latino secrets, talk about our crazy Latino culture, gossip about our crazy Latino friends and relatives, and interview the craziest, the funniest Latino comedians on the Latino comedy scene. Welcome to my crazy life. Jackie's Vida Loca.
You. Did you know it's Passover week here on Jackie's Vida Loca? That's right, it's Kvetching week if you want to know the truth. And today, we are honoring our crazy Jews in our families, our friends who are Jewish, and Jews everywhere. And now, I'm going to go back to my regular voice. Hello, this is Jackie. How you doing, loquitos? It's Jackie's Vida Loca, and we are celebrating Jews this week. We're not just celebrating with Jews. We're making fun of them, okay? Because, look, why should we just make fun of Latinos? It's not fair. I'm half Russian Jewish. It's fair game. That's all I can say, because Jews are as senseless and as crazy as the Latinos. That is correct. In fact, there are many similarities. Having grown up both Jewish and Latina, I can vouch for the fact that the guilt is exactly the same. In fact, my little Latina mother makes me feel as guilty as any Jewish mother on the face of this planet. We have very strong matriarchs in the Jewish faith and the Jewish culture, because it's not just the faith of the Jews, it's the culture that surrounds us. And women rule, and it's very similar to Latinos as well. But we both of our cultures have a very strong point of view. In fact, don't argue with either one of us, okay? We love to eat, and we're going to talk about food today. Oh, my God, are we going to talk about food? And we both of our cultures have the big ass and the big hips to prove it. You can tell a Jew and you can tell a Latina from the back, because all you need to do is look at our butt and our hips. We got good childbearing hips. And the last similarity between the Jews and the Latinos is that we both love to shop. But I'll tell you this, I shop like a Latina, but I save like a Jew, okay? And, you know, Jews are truly a minority. 99% of the world is non-Jewish. I don't know whether you knew that. There's only 14 million Jews in the world, and a third of them, 5 million of them, live in the United States of America. We love our Jews. And I'll tell you what, the top five most Jewish cities in the country, you're going to know the top three, because the top three are pretty obvious. New York, L.A., and South Florida, right? That's the top cities where Jewish people live. And by the way, 15% of all the Jews that live in the United States live in New York. 15%. They all live in New York. That's why they get the reputation, New York Jew. My family is New York Jewish, okay? Now we're South Florida Jewish, too. But the other two cities, which you might not have known about, are Philadelphia and Chicago. So we're taking over slowly but surely. We're taking over, and every major city in the country has a Jewish neighborhood, right? We all have a Jewish neighborhood. Did you know that there are black Jews? I bet you knew that. Now, the number of black Jews, nobody can count them. It says on Wikipedia that the numbers in the U.S. range from 20,000 to 200,000. Now, what the heck is that? I mean, that's a mistake by one major zero there. But it's really weird, because a lot of people feel that Jesus Christ was black. The countries that black Jews come from are Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, Algeria, and Morocco. And many people believe that the black Jews were the original Jews. And I'll tell you this. You should put this down. Black Jews are cute. Drake is cute. Sammy Davis Jr. was cute. Rashida Jones is beautiful. Lenny Kravitz, Lisa Bonet, those are some of my top black Jews on my list here. And I'll tell you, they're very handsome people. The best, so you think of a black and a Jew together, and what do you get? Hip-hop Havana Gila. They actually look Puerto Rican. They really do. We'll take them. You know what? There's not that big of a difference between a Jew and a Latino, and I'm here to tell you that if you combine a black and a Jew, you're going to get a Puerto Rican. And then they'll be eating plátanos instead of matzo balls. But you know what? It's great to be Jewish. And I'll tell you this, having grown up in truly a multicultural household, I can vouch for the blessings of being Jewish. For example, there's 12 days of Hanukkah, only one day of Christmas. Okay, you choose your religion. You decide. And when you're Jewish, you never pay retail, ever, ever. My father found a shoe store in the worst neighborhood of Miami, and they had shoes for $3 a piece. And we went there and shopped till there was no room for one more pair of shoes in my house. He could find a deal like nobody else, and yes, we do live up to the reputation. We'll never go broke, no way. And when you're Jewish, the beauty of being Jewish is that you can complain with reckless abandon. You can kvetch all day long because people expect that from you. You can bitch about the traffic. You can bitch about the weather. You can bitch about your weight. You can bitch about your family. You can bitch about just about anything you want because you're Jewish, and you can kvetch because we have a specific word for it. And whenever Jews kvetch, we call it kvetching. We don't call it bitching. We call it kvetching. There's a woman that I used to work with. I will not mention names, but she was Jewish. She probably still is. Oh, my God, this woman used to kvetch from the moment she woke up in the morning till the moment she went to bed at night. Most people couldn't stand the sight of her. I could understand her. I could understand the desire to want to complain about stuff. It's just, I guess, part of our DNA. But the beauty of being Jewish is that the Jews stick together. There's always a Jewish neighborhood, a Jewish club, a Jewish country club, a Jewish community, the Jewish community center. You, being Jewish, you will always have a club to be a part of. Always. But the bonus of being Jewish, listen up, people, and for all you Gentiles out there, all you little Latinos that are listening right now, the best thing about being Jewish is grieviness. And I said that with a Latino accent, but it's grieviness. Now, for you Jews out there, you know what I'm talking about. The skin of a chicken. Chicken skins that have been fried in chicken fat with onions and a lot of salt. They're crispy. They are so delicious. They are literally a walking heart attack, and there's nothing that could be better than grieviness. And my mom, my little Paulita, makes the best, well, she makes the best Jewish food around, because my mom takes Jewish food and adds a little adobo criollo, and it tastes amazing. It's like the combo of Jewish Latino food. But she really makes amazing grieviness, and that's how she says it, grieviness. You want some grieviness? She really does make amazing grieviness. G-R-I-B-I-N-E-S. Oh, my God, my mouth is watering. I could eat it right now. But my mom is a typical Jewish mother. She really is. And let me tell you something. You know what the difference between a Rottweiler and a Jewish mother is? Guess. Eventually, the Rottweiler lets go. But Jewish moms, you know what? She really is like a Jewish mom, because Jewish moms, they want to know what you're doing at all times. And don't lie, because even a secret agent can't lie to a Jewish mother. They want you to call them and on a schedule. If you don't call them, oh, my God, they layer on that guilt. And my mom is exactly like that. What, did you fall in the toilet? I tell her I have to go to the bathroom. What, did you couldn't call me back? She sounds exactly like a Jewish mother. They want to know who you're talking to on the phone. They want you to be careful at all times. They want you to take a sweater no matter where you're going. They want you to eat something before you go. And they don't only just want to know where you're going, but they want to know who you're going with. They want to do like the background check, the Jewish mother background check. And if you have a Jewish mother-in-law, ay, Dios mío, watch out. A Jewish mother-in-law has the potential of making your life a living hell. So that is why if you have a Jewish mother-in-law, the first thing you need to do is forget who you married. You just need to go buy her a lot of presents. And you need to tell her how wonderful she is all the time and what a wonderful mother she is and how you agree with all her antics. If you don't do this, I'm telling you people, you will die a long-suffering life, a long-suffering death at the end. You will wish the ground you walked on will open up and swallow you alive. There's a comedian named Amy Borkowski. I don't know if you've heard of her, but you definitely, people, you have to Google this, because Amy, of course, is Jewish and has a Jewish mom. And over 10 years, she literally recorded all of her mother's voicemails, and it's truly hysterical, okay? She recorded her mother's voicemails, and one of them was her mother was very worried about her being able to escape from her apartment in New York if the elevators weren't working, so she suggested that the daughter buy a $12.99 parachute so she could parachute out of her window. Oh, my God. And the other one, she had at one point read about a man who found a cell phone inside his dog. So she was very worried about Amy choking on a palm-sized computer. So this is the kind of crap that Jewish mothers worry themselves about. And it's so hysterical. If you have a Jewish mother or a Jewish mother-in-law, which is worse, you'll know what I'm talking about. Jewish mothers, Jewish grandmothers for that matter, there is no better matchmaker in the world than a Jewish mother. In fact, the Jews, it's so popular, the Jews have a name for it. It's sirch, a sirch, okay? And some people in the Jewish religion actually charge for matchmaking. You know, everybody's constantly playing Cupid, trust me. Jerome Abutch, his son's in medical school, you're going to love him. Oh, my neighbor has three daughters. They all work on Wall Street, they're loaded. This is the kind of crap. This is what happens. And the criteria for being matched, first of all, you got to be straight. They don't match make gays. I think we'll come around, but right now, gay matchmaking hasn't made its way yet. And you have to earn a good living, okay? They're only going to matchmake you if you are not broke, because broke Jews are the black sheep of the culture. Preferably, you need to be a doctor or a lawyer, and you know the reputation we have. And you got to be geographically suitable. They will not match long distance. You got to be Jewish. Definitely being Jewish is preferred. And they'll take you no matter what you are, as long as you convert. Either way, you have to observe the Jewish holidays and go to temple one time a year. That's all it takes, is one time a year. It's not like the Catholics, okay? The Jews only have to go one time a year. Every other time, it's truly a bonus. And if you go more than one time a year, you won't know anybody there, okay? Now, in order to be matchmade, you have to want a family, because grandkids are a must to every Jewish mother. And no matter whether you're a man or a woman, you have to be good to your mother and their mother. Mothers rule the roost, as I mentioned before, and mother is ruthless. She will cut your balls off if you're not good to her. So you need to remember this, okay? Now, there are what we call mama's boys, okay? And I happen to like them very much. I have absolutely nothing against mama's boys, because everything comes down to mama. They think, key word here, think. Mama's boys think that they're the biggest womanizers. It's so funny. They think they're so hot. They think they're so sexy. But they're a mama's boy. But they're sweet. And they always end up marrying somebody like their mother. Let me tell you something. In a relationship, mom's word is everything. In order to go out with a guy who's a mama's boy, mom has to interview you first. You have to make the grade. You have to make three rounds of interviews. And if it's time to break up, the guy never breaks up with you. It's always the mother. You get that call. You know, it's what mom thinks of the girl that matters. She has to be able to cook, although Jewish girls can't really cook that well, but they can certainly make reservations. That's an old, age-old joke. It is true. Jewish women are very, very independent, you know. And you have to be a hard worker. You don't have to be pretty, just pretty enough. But you have to have good hips, again, for the child rearing. All right, listen, I learned all of this from having a Jewish father. My father was just the most wonderful guy in the world. He really wasn't religious, but he was a very spiritual man and a really wonderful man. His name was Joe. And in a second, I'm going to play you an interview that I did with Fred Sorkin. Now, Fred is my half-brother. We are brothers from a different mother. Brothers from a different mother, but the same father. And Fred and I share Joe as our dad. Our dad passed away many, many years ago. But the good, beautiful thing about this is that Fred and I are still close. We are still friends. And I want you to meet Fred Sorkin. Here you go. Okay, Lukitas, I'm on the line with my amazing brother, Fred
Dworkin, who lives in Denville, New Jersey, with his wife, Nancy. Fred has three kids, Marnie, Ian, and Meredith, and we all grew up together. Fred is the patriarch of the Sorkin family. He is the center for comedy, and I thought it would only be right to interview him on this show today. How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great.
Well, that's good to hear. Is it snowing there today?
No, it's actually beautiful in New Jersey.
Oh, that's good, because I know you love the cold weather, right?
Yes.
Well,
live in New Jersey, not L.A.
That's absolutely right. Well, listen, you know, you have such a treasure trove of information on our culture, our background, how you grew up in a Jewish family. This show today is to honor all the crazy and senseless things the Jewish side of my family does to celebrate the holidays, seeing as it's Passover week. But
yes.
You grew up in a very multicultural neighborhood, and I want you to tell our listeners about that neighborhood in which you grew up.
Well, it was Brooklyn in the 40s, 50s, and early 60s, and it was made up of very poor people, but we never knew it that we were poor. We went downstairs into the street, and we played ball all day. We ate our ethnic food, the Jewish food that I ate. By the way, Jewish food probably killed more Jewish people than the war. That's why I'm on cholesterol drugs. My neighborhood was Jewish, Italian, and Irish.
They said that the Jewish people lived on one side of the block and the Italians lived on the other. Is that true?
Sort of.
Did they get along?
Yeah. Basically, we all got along. We had the best of food because everything was made fresh. We had delicatessens and Italian restaurants and bakeries that were Italian, German, Jewish, and it was a treasure trove of food. Wonderful food, homemade.
Do you think that the food actually brought these cultures together in that neighborhood?
No, not really. It was an inexpensive place to live.
Well, you are a food lover. I mean, within 3 seconds of this interview, we're talking about food. I'd like you to tell our listeners, describe to them your dream restaurant.
My dream restaurant would be a buffet that serves lobster, corned beef sandwiches, Cuban food, or Puerto Rican, doesn't matter, chow mein, and Tums on the side.
Tums for dessert.
No, while you eat, you can sprinkle it on the food.
What do you do to keep healthy with all this food that you like to eat?
Health never comes into this.
Let me ask you, I'm going to switch gears because I'm sure we're going to get back to food in a second. No matter what question I ask you, I need you to weave food back into it, okay?
Easy.
Is that a deal?
Easy.
Okay. We're talking about the Jewish culture, and we know the Jewish mothers around the world want their sons to marry, what, a nice Jewish girl. And I'd like you to describe to our listeners, in your opinion, what is a nice Jewish girl?
I have no clue.
Have you never met
one?
Oh, my goodness. That's not true. Come on. What's a nice Jewish girl? She's got to be able to cook.
Yes. Well, I've yet to find one.
You don't think Jewish girls can cook?
No, I didn't say that. You said they're good cooks. I've yet to find one that can cook.
My mom learned how to make, because we have different mothers, everybody, okay? So our fathers are the same. Our mothers are different.
See, my mother never made food. She used to torture it.
Well, my mother learned how to make all the Jewish dishes, but she'd add a little of Latino seasonings to all of it. So even if it was matzo balls, it would have adobo on them.
See, part of the problem is we were very poor at the time. This was after the war, and we really didn't have any money. My mother had to make things stretch. For instance, I never knew Jell-O actually had taste.
Because it always tasted like water to you.
That's right. How she got it to gel is beyond me. She had a tendency to overcook everything. So what steak we had tasted like Nealite leather, and I'm not exaggerating.
God. What is your favorite Jewish meal?
There are a lot of them. See, my dad, every Sunday morning for 20 years, would go out with me, and we used to go to a store called an appetizing store, and they would have smoked fish, like lox and whitefish and carp and things like that. And we did this every Sunday morning for the early part of my life, which is a great, great memory for me, doing that with my father. Then there's special food for the holidays, for Passover, that I enjoyed, pot roast.
You love Latino food as well, so tell me what your favorite Latino food is.
When I was young, my family was kosher, which means we only ate meat that was blessed by a rabbi. It was very restrictive. There weren't a lot of foods. And my dad introduced me to many, many different foods because he was not kosher. One of them was Latino food, which I absolutely love and adore.
And what's your favorite?
The pig.
Pernil.
Yes, with fried bananas and black beans and white rice. Heaven.
With that crispy skin.
Absolutely heaven.
Yeah, now that's a heart attack walking around.
Oh, I love that.
We come from
a relatively crazy family.
Dysfunctional would be a better word.
We have a lot of crazy relatives in our dysfunctional family, and I'd like you to point out who you think was the most interesting, the craziest one of all.
I think my dad was. I wouldn't use the word crazy. He was the most interesting. He did things that were off the wall, not conventional.
Right.
For instance, after the war, he never had a job. It took weeks and months to find a job, but he went out and bought a new car. How he got the car is beyond me. But he would constantly do things like that, and he was not conventional, and I thought that was wonderful, which taught me a lesson later in life to go beyond, get out of the box.
Absolutely. I think that is the most beautiful thing about our father, is that he had this incredible zest for life and a really great sense of humor. And I think any funny that comes out of me really comes from him, because he was always so silly.
He had a great sense of humor, and I loved him for that.
What's the worst advice anybody ever gave you?
To not question anything. My advice would be the opposite. I question everything. Don't take anything for granted. I haven't told you this. I don't think so, but I just applied to go back to a university and get my master's in history.
Wow, that's a huge undertaking. What's the last thing that you learned that you feel you will take with you for the rest of your life?
You only have one life, and while you're here, live it to the most. Live it to the max.
Okay, speaking of one life, you may or may not believe in reincarnation, but if it were true, who would you want to come back to this life as?
See, I would come back as a dog in a Jewish family.
Why is that?
You're treated like a prince.
Are you using my dogs as an example?
There you go.
You can come back as Maxwell.
That would be great. Be better looking than I am now.
I couldn't disagree.
At least I'd have
hair.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Then you would have more hair than you know what to do with. I'd be cleaning up your hair all over the house. See? Fred, let me ask you this, because you have traveled the world, really. You've traveled very extensively. So I'm going to ask you a two-part question, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first part of the question is, what's your favorite place in the world? Like, if you could drop everything, money being no object, where would you want to live in this world?
Paris.
If you could live anywhere. In Paris.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do in Paris?
Oh, my God. The museums, the food, the architecture. The country, the way of life. I love France.
Do you speak any French?
Not a word.
Well, you'd have to learn that before you come back.
It's impossible. Nobody can talk French unless you're born there.
Je t'aime. Okay, so Paris is the place that you've been to, that you'd love to go back to and spend the rest of your life there. So tell me the one place in the world that you have never been to that you'd like to go to.
I've never been on an African safari.
So we're going to do this thing that I call rapid fire questions. You've just got to basically tell me what's your top of mind answer, okay?
Okay.
If you could turn back the hands of time and go back to any age in your life, what age would that be?
16.
What's your favorite movie of all time?
Tough question. I would say Citizen Kane or The Godfather.
If I got into your car right now and turned the radio on, what would I hear?
NPR.
What's your ideal body fat?
Zero.
If you could be any nationality, what would it be?
Oh, any nationality. It's not something I think about.
We'll make you Puerto Rican.
Okay, good food.
Puerto Rican's good. If your name wasn't Fred, if you could have named yourself, what name would you have given yourself?
Lorenzo the Magnificent.
What's the one magic trick you'd like to do?
I'd like to lose 20 pounds.
When you can figure that one out, tell me how to do it. What questions do you have for me?
When am I going to see you?
I hope soon. I got to get myself to Denville, New Jersey as soon as possible. I miss you, but you got to come to Los Angeles.
Yes, you know what? That'll be easier in the future because Nancy's going to retire.
Tell everybody about Nancy.
Oh, she's a wonderful person, an unbelievable cook, and a sweetheart.
But wait a minute. She's Jewish.
Yes, but she's from New Jersey.
And she's an unbelievable cook.
So, see, I didn't clarify it before. My whole life was Jewish girls from Brooklyn. Once you leave Brooklyn, it's a different world. See, Nancy is from New Jersey.
So who runs the Roost?
We have a corporation.
And who's CEO?
We have equal rights, 50-50. We both have one vote. And
I
ties are broken by you.
All right, well, you know where to find me, Fred. It was so nice having you on Jackie's Vida Loca. Can you say, listen to Jackie's Vida Loca in Spanish?
Escuchen a Jackie la Vida Loca.
Gracias.
Bye, I'll see you. She's
in the hotel. She took my heart and she took my money. She must have let me sleep in the pill. Never drink the water, makes you order French champagne. Once you've had a taste of her, you'll never be the same. It can make you go insane. Upside, inside out, living the vida loca.
had Fred Sorkin. Isn't he a delight? I just love, love, love chatting with him. And everything he says makes me laugh. You noticed that, right? But you could tell that the minute we got into this interview, we started talking about food. It is just a very typical thing for Jews to do. In fact, we're thinking of our next meal while we're eating the one we're eating. The buffet was invented, I'm sure, by a Jew. And our hunger is determined by the misfortunes of children in other countries. If you don't eat your food, your mother will tell you she's going to FedEx that food somewhere else. Did you know that only 15% of Jews actually keep kosher? Because as my brother said, it's extremely restrictive. You have to get a rabbi. You have to find a rabbi to bless something before you eat it. And, you know, they don't always bless the things you really, really want to eat, like Chinese food. So, you know, you got to be really, really disciplined to be kosher and very religious and all that. So forget it. And you have a choice. You don't have to keep kosher to be Jewish. So whatever. So only 15% of people actually do it. But let me tell you, my mouth is watering when I'm talking to you about all this Jewish food because it's delicious. I don't know. I don't know that Jewish food has such a great reputation for being yummy. And maybe it's because I was raised on it. I was, you know, like we would have, something Jewish on one day, like lox on one day, and we would have arroz con pollo the next. And I'm lucky that way. I find myself so lucky to have experienced both of these cultures under the same roof with two loving parents. It's just amazing. But let's talk about food again because that's more interesting, right? Okay, so Jackie's top five favorite Jewish foods. I'm going to start with the cracklings of chicken skin. Oh, this is one. The most important reason to be Jewish is grubiness. It's so delicious. Like I said, it's crispy. It's got onions fried in it in chicken fat. And when it comes out, we throw a bunch of salt on it. And it's like, you think potato chips are good? Oh, honey, you have not tasted anything until you've tasted grubiness. Here's the other thing. Second on my list is lox. Lox, salty lox, belly lox, on anything. Listen, if you put a shoe in front of me and you threw a slice of lox on top, I would eat that because I love lox. And if you haven't noticed, after listening to a few of my shows, I like anything with salt on it. In fact, like, you know how horses have a salt lick? That's what I should install in my bedroom because I just love salt. And one day I'm going to die because I love so much salt. But for right now, I'm going to eat my lox. And I can eat it on bagels. I can eat it in, like, lox and eggs with onions. There's nothing better. As long as you get it done, well done, it's the best thing in the world. The third thing on my list is bialys. Bialys are very much like bagels for you guys who don't know what a bialy is, but they're better because they're much lighter. The consistency is much lighter, and then you have to toast them, and they have onions on them. So a bialy with butter on them dripping off the sides makes life worth living. Okay, number fourth on Jackie's top five favorite Jewish foods is schmaltz herring. Now, we almost burned the house down once by making schmaltz herring because you have to take a herring. There are these little tiny fish. You got to take a herring, and they're salty, too. You got to take a herring and fry it in chicken fat and hope and pray that the whole place doesn't light up. And what you need to do is open every window in your house. Now, this is how you can tell a Jewish neighborhood. If you can smell herring cooking as you drive down the street, you know there's a Jewish family about to burn their house down. Because schmaltz herring is so delicious, and they cook the whole entire fish, but you just eat around the bones. And normally I hate fish that has a lot of bones in it, but this is good. It's worth it. It's worth it. Okay, number five on my list is chopped liver. I love chopped liver. I love chopped liver. I don't even really truly know what's in it. I think there's liver in it, but it's more than just a saying. It's more like it's delicious. It's so damn good. And if you're Latino and you've never tasted one damn Jewish food, you should taste chopped liver. Now, you have to like liver, but I definitely think it's in a Jewish person's DNA to like liver because I think the minute you're born, like in the hospital, they literally put a little chopped liver on your tongue just so you can acquire a taste for this stuff in your lifetime. Did I just curse? No. Okay. Anyway, chopped liver is so delicious, but there are other like really crazy Jewish dishes that I will never go near, okay? Now, if you remember, the last show was about food, and I talked about all this crazy-ass stuff that we Latinos eat, and they don't even allow you to eat in this country. Well, the Jews have not, you know, they're not slacking in this department. One of the things that a lot of Jews like that I don't like is gefilte fish. That happens to be the most gross thing in the entire face of the planet. First of all, it's kind of like this ground up fish that's made into a patty, and then there's this jelly around it, and it kind of wiggles, and it's there's nothing crispy about it. It's like mushy fish patties with jelly around it. I say disgusting. Okay, the other thing that Jews eat that a lot of other people, in fact, the Latinos love this, is tongue. Now, honey, you know what? There are so many other parts of a cow to eat that if I was dying in the desert and there was one cow left in the desert and I ate everything else on that cow, even the hoofs and the tail and everything else, the last thing I would eat on that cow is a tongue. Okay? Because I don't know, the idea of eating sandpaper that goes backwards is just disgusting to me. Okay, there's another thing here called mamaliga. It's cornmeal porridge, but I can't get past the mamaliga because I'm thinking I'm drinking breast milk when I'm eating that. So it just sounds disgusting. Okay, there's another thing called russell, which is fermented beets, and I'm not a beet fan, so I won't touch that either. But the next thing is really gross. Eierlich. Unhatched eggs. Now, I know we eat unhatched eggs all the time, but Eierlich, if you just call it a regular egg, I'll eat it. But if you call it Eierlich, I'm not going near it. Now, the next thing, I told you I'd eat a cow's hoofs, but that's only if I'm starving to death, because the Jews actually really eat jellied calf's foot. Bichita. I can't even pronounce this stuff, okay, because that's the Latina in me coming out. Bichita. That's what it's called, bichita. And the next Latino name for a Jewish food is arrangiluska. Arrangiluska, which is pull-apart cake. You know, look, there's a million different kinds of cake you can eat. I might even try this. I might have to put this on my try list. But so far, the name is not convincing me. But one thing we Jews like, and you got to eat it if you're Jewish, like it or not, is a matzah ball. And you ask yourself, what is in a matzah ball? And I'm going to tell you what's in a matzah ball. Mix. Mix is in a matzah ball. Do not, I say do not, try making matzah balls from scratch. I couldn't tell you what's actually in a matzah ball. You got to buy the box. There's a matzah ball on the outside, and it says matzah ball on the box. And that's what's in a matzah ball, whatever's in that box. Because if you try to make it yourself, no matter how hard you try, you're going to mess it up. And by the way, in case you didn't realize this, matzah balls need to be round, not triangular. Somebody please tell this to my family. And note to all brats at the dinner table, it is best to leave your matzah balls in the soup where they belong. Because I've known members of my family to throw matzah balls while they're eating them. Okay? Now that's Jews in food. But now we're going to get down to some serious business here. Jews in business. When we come back, I am going to tell you about Jews in business, because if you want to open a business, you need to partner with a Jew, not a Latino. So Jews in business when we come back.
Only on Blog Talk Radio will you hear the celebrity host of Easy Way Broadcasting. Network owner Eric Easy Zuli treats his 500,000 Twitter followers to insider tips and connections on upcoming shows with the top celebrities and business leaders. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy and tune in 7 days a week to talk with the Easy Way Broadcasting show host at 914-338-1303. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting.com to advertise on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network.
All right, so the best people to be in business with, I will tell you right now, it's not Chinese. It is not Indonesian. It is not Latino. It is a Jew, because Jews know how to make money. All right, let me put it to you this way. If a Latino found a dollar on the floor, you know what he'd do? He'd go to the soda machine and spend it. If a Jewish person found a dollar on the floor, he would think about how to make that dollar into another 100. And you know what? It's unfortunate, because Jews have a reputation of being cheap. It's not the case. We Jews are not cheap. We just know how to make money, okay? And the more it used to cost, the better it is. If it used to cost a lot and now it costs nothing, we'll take it, because we're ace negotiators. We will wear you down until you are literally palpitating, sweating at the brow, We will negotiate stuff we don't even want just to practice. I went to Morocco with my parents on vacation. There was a man in a cave selling designer purses, okay? There was one that looked kind of cute. I was looking at it. Now, these guys in Morocco are masterful at reading minds. So he was reading my mind, thinking, that's kind of cute, a cute little bag. But I didn't really want it. He started at $125 for a real designer purse, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Anyway, he started at $125. I got the guy down to $15. And you know what? You're going to slap me because I didn't take it. I didn't really want it. I just wanted to play the game of the negotiation, the back and forth, the walking around, the holding my head, the putting my hands on my head, the I don't really like that purse. You know, it was hysterical. But the Jews will wear you down to the knuckle. And they don't even want the stuff you're trying to sell them. They just want to see how far they can get you. Now, I will tell you that when it comes to making money and when it comes to work, I don't know of any culture that has a better work ethic than the Jews. And they're very similar to the Latinos in this regard because my father worked his ass off. In fact, both of my parents did. Both of my parents worked very, very hard, and they're no different from the other Latinos and the Jewish people that I grew up around. Very hardworking people. They're not afraid to roll up their sleeves and work hard and sweat at the brow to make a dime, and they work hard for the money, okay? And they appreciate that. In fact, a Jew goes into therapy not because of work, relationships, not because, they feel low self-esteem about anything else. They go into therapy because they're depressed when they're broke. If they're broke, that's the first reason to go into therapy. Money. Money is not necessarily a mantra, but it is the first thing we gossip about. Oh, Jerome lost his dental practice. He lost everything. You know, it's the first thing we gossip about. If you see a Jewish woman on the phone and she's talking in a low voice, it's one of two things. Either the neighbor has cancer, which is always whispered, or she's talking about somebody who lost their shirt doing something. That's what we gossip about. We gossip about money. You know, The Jews that have made the biggest impact in where I live in terms of making money are the ones that run Hollywood. And many, many, there's a huge, huge, always a debate about Jews in Hollywood. Really. In fact, on the Oscars, Seth MacFarlane made a huge joke about the Jews in Hollywood, and there's an anti-defamation lawsuit and all this blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of Jews that run Hollywood. In fact, Louis B. Mayer, he's the guy who created the idea for the Oscar. The first full-length sound picture, The Jazz Singer, was produced by Samuel L. Goldwyn and Louis B. Mayer, MGM. Sherry Lansing was Paramount Pictures' first woman president of a major Hollywood studio. Jews do, in fact, run Hollywood, right? And there's so many people in Hollywood, you'd never know they're Jewish. They're like yentas in disguise, like me. These ladies, I'm going to read you a list of the top 10, Jackie's top 10 picks of, are they really Jewish? Okay. First on the list is Juliana Margulies. Bet you didn't know the good wife is a Jew. Here's another one, Mila Kunis. Mila Kunis is Jewish. And Diana Agron, the one in Glee, she's Jewish. Here's another one, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I didn't even know Maggie Gyllenhaal was Jewish until I researched it, which means her cute brother's Jewish, which means he's available right now. Okay, Elizabeth Banks is Jewish. Here's another one. Kate Hudson, Goldie Hawn's daughter, beautiful and Jewish. Gwyneth Paltrow, Jewish. Winona Ryder, shoplifter, Jewish. Now, you know what? Winona should have known better than to shoplift. She's a Jew. She could have just negotiated all that stuff by 50% and gotten a deal and felt much better about herself in the end. And by the way, I'm pausing in the middle of my list just to tell you that when you're in a department store, you can negotiate the prices of stuff. You think I'm kidding just because I'm doing a Jewish show, blah, blah, blah? No. If you're there and it has a little tiny rip in it, you can get 10%. Now, I'm not saying you should do the rip, okay? But if you see something you like and it has a little damage or whatever, you can talk to the manager and get a discount. And I'm all about the discount, people. Honestly, I love a good sale. I will not deny it. Okay, here's another Jew. Paula Abdul, I had no idea. I thought she was like Middle Eastern. Paula Abdul is Jewish. Okay, at the top of my list, The person you'd never think was Jewish is Scarlett Johansson. She's Jewish. She acts like a Catholic, but she's Jewish. Now, I don't even know what a Catholic acts like, but she doesn't act Jewish for some reason. I don't think she acts Jewish. I would have never known she was Jewish, but you know what? She's Jewish. And there's other celebrities that you never know were Jewish. Jack Black. I had no idea he was Jewish. Lena Dunham, the one who takes her clothes off every single episode on Girls, you know who I'm talking about. She created the show, and within 30 seconds of being on the show, she literally takes off all her clothes and doesn't care that everybody sees her body. Let me tell you something. Lena Dunham makes me feel fantastic about myself. I walk around my house naked more often now that I've seen her on television, because if she can do it, by golly, my ass can do it too. Thank you, Lena Dunham, for not only being Jewish, but walking around naked on every one of your shows. It's like watching a car crash on the side of the road to see Lena Dunham naked. Ben and Jerry, the people with the ice cream, are Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfeld, Jewish. David Copperfield, the magician, Jewish. Maybe he can make $1 million appear. And Gloria Allred, the one who, you know, she's kind of like an ambulance chaser attorney. She's Jewish, too. Very enterprising woman. But there's a few Jews that are Latinos that are also famous, too. I bet you didn't know, because I'm a Jew-Rican. That's Jew and Puerto Rican. And you know who else is? Freddie Prinze Jr. Ha! Huh. I had no idea that Freddie Prinze Jr. was a Jew-Rican until I prepared for this show. And here's another set of people. Joaquin Phoenix and River Phoenix, the brothers, and all their family, Jewish. Had no idea. And I am sure you had no idea either. But all those Latinos are also Jewish. And you know who else is Jewish? You're never going to believe this. William Levy. Okay, you'd believe it by the last name. But the Cuban, gorgeous Cuban novella actor who was on Dancing with the Stars and does all the M&M commercials. And he loves chocolate. He loves chocolate, baby. And I think he's so cute. William Levy is Jewish. Now, here's another one. You guys have probably heard of Sábado Gigante. Oh, my God, that show's been around for 25 million years. It's one of the most successful shows on television ever. And you've probably heard of Don Francisco. Well, Don Francisco is actually a German Jew. His name is Mario Luis Kreuzberger Blumenfeld, a.k.a. Don Francisco. Now, if Don Francisco were here right now, he'd be talking to you about all the things, the Yiddish words that he uses when he's not doing Sábado Gigante. We're going to walk you through them in just 49 seconds. Listen to this.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
So we're talking about Jewish culture here on Jackie's Vida Loca, all right? I'm Jackie Dollar, and I'm about to walk you through the 15 most popular Yiddish words around. This is all in honor of Kvetch Week, Passover Week, okay? So when I was a kid, I was called boo-boo. Anybody else out there called boo-boo? Well, it's actually a Yiddish word called bubba. And basically, it can mean grandmother, but other similar words are like babushka, babeshki. Anyway, my mom, the cute little Puerto Rican Latina mother that I have, calls me babushka. Thank you very much to my Jewish relatives for instilling a nice repertoire of Jewish words in my little Latina mom's language. Okay? Babushka. The next word, you've probably heard a million times. I don't know if you know this word was Jewish, but it's chutzpah, which can mean extreme arrogance. Now I'm starting to talk like my southern husband. That's going to be another show, but for right now we're going to stick to the Jewish, okay? So chutzpah means extreme arrogance or to have nerve. Now, most people use it as having nerve, right? The next word that comes from Yiddish, which is a slang version of Jewish, Hebrew Jewish, is klutz, a block of wood, a clumsy, dumb person, okay? A klutz. You're such a klutz. The next word, which I've used 1,000 times on this show, which means to complain, is kvetch. K-V-E-T-S-H, kvetch. But it also means to squeeze, to press, like squeezing the life out of you. The next word is mazel tov. Good luck, congratulations, mazel tov. Here's one that kind of describes most of my family, Meshuggahs or Meshugganahs. Craziness, insanity, okay? Here's one that I use all the time, oy vey, which really is just an expression that means, oh, woe is me. It means dismay. Here's my favorite of all the Yiddish words, which is shalom, which is a greeting that means deep peace. And you know what? I think more people, I don't care what religion or what culture you come from, should use this word more often. We could use more peace on this word in this world. Here's one I like, schlep, to drag something around unwillingly, kind of like schlepping all your crap around, right? Here's one, shtick. You use shtick all the time. Give me that shtick. It's something you do. It's like a routine. Do your shtick or your spiel. Spiel is a very long sales pitch, the kind you want to take a dagger and stick in your heart. That's a spiel. Here's one, a shiksa. Now, if somebody comes up to you in a store and calls you a shiksa, it's not a compliment, people. Ladies, listen up. It implies a non-Jewish woman's main traits, a shiksa. Here's one, tushies, T-U-C-H-E-S, which means your bottom, your rear end, your tuchus. You've seen it. You've heard it. It's tuchus. And then the last one on the list is the definition of a gossip, a busybody, a yenta. Everybody knows who the yenta is. Oh, my God. The yenta is that gossip, busybody, complainer, pain in the ass. And every family has at least three, okay? Now, here are the top definitions for things you may or may not know. What the Torah is. Do you know what the Torah is? Because if you're Jewish and you don't know what the Torah is, shame on you. It's Judaism's most important text. It has 5 books of Moses and 613 commandments. 613 commandments. Holy crap. I think I'd rather just stick with the 10 commandments. Because 613, I don't think I could survive. Kosher. Now, you've heard the word kosher. You know what that means. It means to bless food. But did you know you have to bless your dishes, too, if you keep kosher? Only 15%. So you don't have to really do it to be Jewish. Okay, so there's a word that you probably see on a bunch of food that you buy, and you probably have no clue what it means. It's parv, P-A-R-V-E. And that means that the food contains no meat or dairy. So basically, no animal product. It's neutral food. Here's a good one. What's the difference between pastrami and corned beef? Both are made from beef brisket, so what's the difference? Well, pastrami is smoked. Corned beef is boiled. It's exactly the same thing. But there's millions of types of pastrami because they can be smoked differently, but there's only one way to boil corned beef, and that's it. So there's one type of corned beef, a million kinds of pastrami. Here's something you might not have known. Why does the Star of David have 6 points? Because most of the stars, like when you get a star stuck to your forehead in kindergarten, it's never going to be the Star of David. It's always going to be the 5-point star. So why do the Jews elect to have a star with 6 points to be different? Well, I'll tell you why. The 6 points actually signify, the whole star signifies 7, because it's the 6 points plus that section in the middle. And what it represents is creation. So it's the 6 days of creation plus the 7th day of rest, which is the Sabbath. Bet you didn't know that, you Jews. Learn. You're going to learn something here today, okay? And what's up with the whole bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah thing? You know what? In the Latino culture, we only have quinces, which is when a little girl turns 15, they throw her pretty much a preamble to her wedding. Okay, it's kind of like they even dress her like a bride. But in the Jewish religion, when boys or girls, both of them, either one, turn 13, they have a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, which is a rite of passage at 13. Now, here's the thing, people. If at 13 you're becoming a woman or a man, I know some men that are grown up already that need to retake their bar mitzvah because they've never really grown up. But this is a Jewish coming-of-age ritual. It's one of God's excuses to eat, drink, and invite all the people that you're never going to see again and hire a DJ that's too expensive. The amount of money that goes into putting a bar mitzvah literally could save a third world country. And the ceremony is just the most, I got to admit, these kids learn all this stuff by heart and baruga, da, 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 they go through it in Hebrew. And honestly, to sit there and listen to this go on, it's kind of like getting needles in your eyes. I mean, there's got to be something that you can do while they're reading all that stuff. They should hand out cookies or something like that because it is truly like more boring than mass. But the truth is, people go to this thing in church attire. Like, that's what you wear to a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. So if you get invited, you go like you're going to church, okay? The men all have to wear yarmulkes. And for those men who literally have three hairs going across their bald head, you still have to take a bobby pin and clip it on, or tape, or super glue. You have to bring, or gum. Gum also works for securing your yarmulkes. You know what a yarmulke is, right? It's those little beanies. They're little beanies, and sometimes they're very elaborate. But if you're going to bar mitzvah and you're not Jewish, they're going to give you a black satin one, which is hopefully going to match with whatever you came in, but it's not going to look good because those yarmulkes are cheap ones, okay? And yes, if you're coming to take a yarmulke for free, it's not going to be an expensive one. But I'll tell you one thing you got to spend money on is the gift. Because if you do not bring this child a gift, you will literally be talked about and gossiped about for the next 25 years. They will talk about how Sandy never brought a gift for Junior. Okay, you understand me? This is definitely a rite of passage, but it's an opportunity for gifts. It's an opportunity for having everybody over. And it can be a lot of fun, but the whole process will definitely wear you out. And you think about, like, what you wear, there's a thing called Jewish fashion. And if you think I'm kidding, look it up. There's definitely a thing called Jewish fashion. Have you ever driven through a Jewish neighborhood on a Saturday? You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. These are the original men in black people. These people are very religious Jews. They're walking to synagogue on Saturday afternoon. They are dressed completely in black. They got hats on. They got little curls on the side of their cheeks. And when you look up Jewish fashion, you will learn that modesty is essential. Modesty. And I'm not just talking about showing too much skin, okay? Because that's where the commonalities between Jews and Latinos end. Here, modesty is critical. You don't wear bright colors. You cover your head. If you're a female and you're married, you got to cover your head. If you're a male, even kids, boys have to cover their heads. You got to cover your elbows. You got to cover your knees. You got to cover your nose. I'm telling you something. This is very restrictive. Men are not allowed to wear shorts ever. And they have to wear yarmulkes. Let me tell you the spelling of yarmulkes in case you're going to look it up. It's not yarmulke. It's Y-A-R-M-U-L-K-E, yarmulke, yarmulkes, okay? And boys have to wear them. And then they also wear a prayer shawl. And they wear these little things called tzitzis. Now, it sounds like I just sneezed, but it's a tzitzis. And tzitzis are tassels in the shape of a rosary. And they carry them around, and it's kind of like prayer tassels, okay? Now, I will tell you, these people that I just described to you, the very, very, very religious Jews, are the wildest people I ever met in my entire life. So there's a particular neighborhood in L.A. near Melrose where it's a beautiful neighborhood, I must admit, and they keep the homes impeccable. You can tell where Jews live because they definitely take care of their neighborhood. You can tell where everybody else lives because you find couches on the street, you know, cars up on cinder blocks, but where Jews live, it's always a nice neighborhood. If you want to go to a nice, safe neighborhood and you want to be the only Gentile, move into a Jewish neighborhood. You'll never, ever, you'll never be sad that you did. But I'll tell you, these are the wildest people I ever met. Okay, so it was New Year's Eve, and I'm driving through this neighborhood near Melrose, and there are SUVs filled with these young, cute, very religious Jewish guys with their heads out the window with the whole thing flying in the air, all dressed in black. They must have been drunk because there was about three or four cars of them. And all they wanted to know, they saw me in my car, and all they wanted to know, you know what they wanted to know? Are you Jewish? And, of course, I had to say, yeah, I'm Jewish. Oh, my God, that's the best news since the potential coming of the next Messiah, that I was Jewish. But, listen, if you want more information on this, there's plenty of it online. Go to orthodox-jews.com, and you'll get all the details you need on Jewish fashion. All right, so listen, I'm going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about Jewish logic.
Easy Way Broadcasting is your connection for all things entertainment and business. Join Eric Easy Zuli and his celebrity hosts as they talk to the hottest people in the world of entertainment, and they bring you the latest and greatest in the world of business. Eric welcomes his hosts to Blog Talk Radio 7 days a week. You will hear Mo Egger, Shane Sparks, Jackie Dollar, Rick Rosman, Gabriel Cannon, Vanessa Curry, and Jennifer Murphy. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting to find links to all the shows and info on upcoming events. And follow Eric Zuli and his 500,000 Twitter followers at HollywoodIfGuy.com to keep up with everything you want to know.
All right, people, so, you know, the Jews have their own culture and they also have their own logic. And, you know, dating a non-Jew could literally bring about the end of civilization, according to the Jews. But I will tell you that in my family, it wasn't exactly like that because, of course, my father was married twice. His second marriage was to my mother, and my mom is a feisty little Latina. So when my father first met my mother, he was very concerned about how his relatives would literally accept her because, you know, of course, she's not Jewish. And years ago, I think this was like a big deal. I think less and less now. I think cultures are definitely more tolerant of each other these days. But back in the day, you know, he was really concerned about this. So basically, there was one particular uncle who was about 795 years old, Uncle Zalman, who literally wore a hat no matter where he went. So if he went swimming, he wore a hat. If he went into the hot tub, he wore a hat. This man wore a hat everywhere he went. You couldn't touch his hat because he was very particular about anybody else trying on his hat. Well, I will tell you that they were the most worried about Uncle Zalman because he definitely kept kosher. He was extremely religious, and they didn't know whether he would like my mom or not. Well, I got to tell you, Uncle Zalman took one look at my beautiful Latina mother, who is such a sweetheart, and I'm sure she made him like some potato pancakes and gefilte fish and all this stuff when he came over, and he was convinced. All she needed to do was make some matzo ball soup, and Uncle Zalman was happy as a clam with Paulita. In fact, Uncle Zalman became her biggest fan in the entire family, and that just goes to show that the Jews will accept a little Latina into their family. You just have to cook them a good meal. See, it really does come down to food, okay? It all comes down to food. But listen, I want to thank everybody for listening to Jackie's Vida Loca today and indulging me with all this talk about the Jews. You know, I'm asking you to laugh with, not at us, because there's plenty of senseless and irrational things that we all do. But in today's show, it was all about the Jews in celebration of Passover. Our next show is going to be about dog lovers. Now, I've mentioned to you my passion around animals. And so next time, we're going to talk about all the senseless and irrational things that we do to take care of our little babies. But for now, I want to thank everybody for listening, all of my friends and family all over the place, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Texas, Puerto Rico, Chicago, Timbuktu. I think I got some listeners in Kansas, too. So shout out to all you guys. Listen to us next week on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern. I always screw that up, don't I? 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Jackie's Vida Loca. See you again soon.
Adios, everybody. Join me again next Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, for the craziest Latino mommy on Jackie's Vida Loca.